Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Thursday co-host, Mr. Wilhelm Felderhoff. Hello, Wilhelm.
Hey, hello, Richard. Good to be with you. Happy to hear you're still alive after this FEMA zombie apocalypse drill.
Yes. That was in multiple countries that they were doing tests the last couple of days, though, isn't that right?
It seems, yeah. I don't know what's real, what's not real exactly, of course, but I saw some reports that they did it in different countries, yes. If they did it, I don't know if you noticed anything, because I was busy, I was not on a phone or anything like that. So I don't know if you saw or, you know, if you noticed anything or other people that you know.
You know, nothing detailed or. Everything else is going well for you in your neck of the woods, though?
Yes, you break up here and there sometimes, Rich, but no, I'm fine, I'm okay. I'm still here working on this water scarcity, because it's really, really getting bad, the water situation over here. But this is all part of this is not a drill. This is not a drill, but it's happening as we speak. So I'm working on this, how to deal with this and to come up with sort of solutions on the short run.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, I know. When I look out as far as the different news circulating in independent media, I hear it. It's pointed out, of course, how we're getting closer, you know, to the end result of this economic cycle, the terminal phase, as we're hearing some refer to it as by this point. Like, I'm hearing some static. I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure who that's from, but can you hear me all right today? Still, Wilhelm?
Yeah, now I hear you fine. I heard this static as well. Sometimes you broke up before, but now it seems okay.
All right. Yeah, no, because I read last week in an article somewhere misplaced that there were tests overseas in Russia. I mentioned that on my show too, but I never located the article again. But I hear confirmation from the control room. John Moore did mention earlier today as well, confirming that Russia conducted one across their time zones. So, yeah, I again, like I pointed out in recent days, that is kind of suspicious. I mean, you know, we're supposed to believe that the East, you know, Russia, China, they're not just part of, you know, the same system, you know, as far as elite leaders, the sort of policies we see enacted with United Nations, World Economic Forum, and so forth. But yeah, no, I mean, if they decide to be doing their tests and we decide to be doing our tests at the same time, I don't know. It doesn't really lend to an impression of too much independence from one another, does it?
No, it doesn't. But of course, this is the one of the biggest elephants in the room, of course, that there seems to be a global agenda, and that these countries who so fight each other seemingly are actually working together on some levels. I mean, we will never know exactly the power structures and how they're fighting inside these, you know, separate power structures with each other. There might be different factions who are, you know, fighting over each other. But it's clear that there is a definite overarching global agenda and a global alliance between the different factions in the different so-called, you know, different countries and the West and the East. And we see this over and over again, but most people, this is of course difficult for most people to grab on, because whether or not Putin was the first to join the war on terror, which was one of the biggest frauds after forced this agenda even more rapidly in the future. In 2001, Putin was one of the first to join this war on terror as an ally. We need to fight this terrorism threat globally, and also with the whole lockstep with COVID, vaccines, digitalization, climate. They seemingly, they're not so fanatically on this as the West, so-called West, seems, but they're also aligned with it. They don't speak firmly against this stuff on these matters, which are completely destroying, especially the West, what we see now. So, yeah, this drill is another sort of, if it's true, of course, because it's very difficult to see what's true and what's not true. But yeah, there's definitely an alliance, and there is a global agenda where all these countries or parts of the world are aligned with, and yeah, maybe there is some resistance from within here and there, but the agendas are being rolled out and being forwarded as we speak.
Yes, indeed. So at the same time, though, as hearing about these I don't know what you'd call them, threshold points in the economic cycle, we're hearing over at the NATO, I guess this is pretty much coordinated, but NATO is on their website calling for nuclear war preparation. Basically, the Western Bloc must be prepared to use tactical nuclear weapons in Europe, which was declared by the former Pentagon official Gregory Weaver. We had this article published at NATO by this retired American defense official calling on the bloc to fight and win a limited war. Oh, sorry, a limited nuclear war against Russia. Should the U.S. and China clash over Taiwan, the author claims that a full-scale war with Europe would likely follow. So yeah, this article written by former Pentagon official Gregory Weaver. He served as the principal nuclear and missile defense advisor for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But in it, Weaver argued that counter to Moscow's longstanding nuclear doctrine, Russia may use tactical nuclear weapons either to stave off a battlefield defeat or bring about a swift victory to a conventional conflict, such as that in Ukraine. In such a scenario, Russian military leadership would assume that the West would not respond in kind for fear that the situation would, quote, escalate uncontrollably to a large-scale U.S.-Russia homeland exchange, unquote. And this was at RT, Wilhelm. So, I don't know. I think that as much as, Russia is not our friend, I think that the threat of them being the primary aggressor is just something that is being fed to us, so we stay loyal to our tyrants of our governments of the U.S. and Europe. But over to you for your comments, sir.
Yes, well, I mean, these kinds of reports, they are very demoralizing as well. They keep up the fear as well, for sure. There's always this massive existential threat of nuclear war, but it's also possible that this will happen to a limited, level where in Ukraine or around there or bigger. We don't know where it's going. For sure, it's the fact that we mentioned this before. We've passed the point of no return. That's a thing which we really need to accept and to realize, and that this is happening. There's nobody's going to save us. No politician. All this stuff is not going to do us any good to hope and to wait for saviors, messiahs, and all that kind of stuff. But it's the reality as we speak. We don't know where it's going. What we do know is that the majority of people who are in the so-called power situation of control and power are insane. They are psychopathic, insane people, whether some of them aren't even people, we don't know as well. But for sure, these people are literally insane. If I look at mainstream now talk shows in Holland, sometimes I just watch it as a sort of entertainment. They say now literally that, you know, the Speaker of the House thing, what happened there and what's happening in the United States, and some people brought up that this would be very dangerous because they would stop the support for Ukraine. And then we have there's a sort of anti-war sentiment, and that is very dangerous. That's what they say. So an anti-war sentiment is very dangerous. They say this, these people in power who are full steam ahead with their, you know, their suicide, this economic societal suicide mission, which is full steam ahead and has passed the point of no return. There's no turning back in a certain degree, although suicide is maybe a little bit too drastically. But things are collapsing as we speak. If you look around, it's fragmenting, it's collapsing. And that is not nice, it's not pleasant, but it's the reality. And we need to deal with it and accept it, and change our, you know, our perceptions and our scanning cycles, our focus, and where we put our focus and energy on, and make a different strategy in order to go through this, you know, this turmoil, and come out of it in some way. And I think that's the most important thing. And also a good thing, because the more this is going to be insane, more things are fragmenting, it's going to be more unpleasant, the more people are realizing that this is not going anywhere, actually. And then they will change their strategy or their actions in line with that, or come even to actions for the first time. Most people still don't act at all. But yeah, I mean, this is insane what we're dealing with, and this threat of nuclear war is, yeah, it's there, it has always been there, but now it seems to be even more in the visible realm almost. So it's not pleasant, but it's just a mental institution where we live in an open MK Ultra clinic, as many people say. And it's, I agree, if you look around you. So you need to change your gear to check your gear and to change the strategy. That's the only thing we can do, to stay sane ourselves to a certain degree. That's already difficult.
Well, I guess so. I mean, my gut reaction response, really, calculating things, is that it's a bluff. Though, I mean, I don't. I think that those the wealthiest who are in control, you know, with control of the private central banks and all of this, it would not do them any good to have nuclear war and the nuclear fallout on a large portion of the Earth, a contamination of everything. You know, Earth, sky, the sea. And I mean, we have enough information to know that, and some even, I know some out there even question factors regarding nuclear weapons in general. That, all that aside, I feel like it's a way to control the people with fear of the respective countries, and you know, not dare try to do away with governments because, oh, you're afraid that, you know, other governments will be worse than your own, you know, while your own is just teaching you to love your own servitude. I don't know. I don't know. Do you think you think it could be a real possibility? I mean, I think that even if middlemen are serious because of everything that they're fed, at the last minute, those above them would step in and stop something like that from actually occurring. Because, yeah, again, I don't see it in the best interests of the financial elite. Your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. This is my personal opinion as well. I think that but everything is on the table. What I said, we're dealing with insane, psychopathic people at the controls. So, and they have all kinds of tools what they want to use, and they are insane. So it's impossible to understand the motives and exactly what's happening. Clearly, there is an agenda, and I don't think that this complete full-out nuclear conflict. I think other crises will come for sure. What we see with we are being invaded as we speak. We talk about a nuclear threat, while at the same time we are being invaded by a massive army, if you want to call it like that, of criminals and also terrorist cells in it. We don't know anything about that. Our cities are sort of collapsing. The violence is increasing. So all kinds of different crises come to a climax, and with that might be a sort of limited nuclear conflict as well. That I think that as well. They won't suicide themselves, but who knows? They're playing God. So, yeah, you're dealing with severe insanity here, and everything is possible. But I agree with your viewpoint that it would not make sense if there would be complete nuclear conflict. But again, we don't know, but I don't think so, no.
And if anyone else out there wants to give their take on that particular topic, I appreciate reassurance, you know, that I'm not the only one who can see the logic in that, I suppose.
No.
We have continuation, though. I mean, with the current economy, we're seeing nations, governments, that is, buying physical gold. They're certainly the central banks. We're seeing a lot of purchases. And this is according to the World Gold Council. Central banks globally added a net 77 tons to their reserves in August. Just August alone there. And that's the latest data from this World Gold Council. It was the third straight month of net purchases over the last 3 months. Net gold buying by central banks totaled 219 tons. It goes on, but yes, mentions countries in particular like Turkey. The Turkish government reinstated gold import quotas in early August. So yeah, on the central bank level and on the nation state level, you know, they're more aware of what's on the horizon, economically speaking, than they're going to let on to the plebs, to the serfs, you and I. But, you know, people should just be aware of these things. If they have savings, they should invest it in physical as well. And regardless of their situation, I mean, certainly having some sort of preparations, you know, emergency items and what have you, couldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but I just think it'll just be a push towards something more digital, controllable with credit, social credit scoring and all that. I don't really think there would be they couldn't handle if there was a shortage of everything for a while, you know, like in 1929, the fallout, because we'd be coming at their ivory castles. You know, there'd be too many people looking to the wealthy and ultra wealthy, and they wouldn't want a time frame where they had to worry about that. I just don't see that realistically either. But and as far as Ukraine, I don't know. There were more domestic politics I could touch on, but I mean, you're overseas, Willem. This is more applicable, perhaps. We have Ukraine freaking out. Due to over here in the U.S., McCarthy has been in need of replacement as far as the House Speaker, you know, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. And so Ukraine is out there saying it's going to be hostage, quote unquote, hostage to Washington turmoil. You know, Politico has a headline, Ukraine freaking out about aid being cut off. Jordan promises not another dime for Ukraine if he's elected the speaker. And so, you know, the replacement as the Speaker of the House the House of Representatives here, of course, one of the two bodies of the legislative branch here. You know, we have the House of Representatives and the Senate for our legislative branch. But, I don't know. We've heard Biden and just this whole far left global system wanting to pledge everything to the Ukrainian struggle as a symbol. I mean, Macron was mentioning that we're fighting for LGBT rights. He said that long ago. What was it? At least like half a year or more ago, Willem. But, you know, I mean, it seems like it's just something that's inevitably going to fizzle out at some point. You know, I mean, it's filled its use, just like COVID as a way to print ridiculous amounts of money, largest transfer of wealth from the masses to the already wealthy between the lockdowns and the money printing. We had it again, though, I mean, a similar function with the Ukrainian conflict. Money laundering was a huge factor. And so it's already served its purpose in that regard and a distraction from other things. They could easily transition to something else, I think, by this point. It's just a matter of how they go about that. And they've already killed enough Ukrainians where, you know, Kalergi plan enthusiasts are already, I'm sure, happy. Now, your thoughts, Willem?
Yes, do we need to go to the break first?
I'm sorry, it's completely. Yes, jump to break. We'll be right back, folks. My bad. It looks like we already went through it. I'm sorry. I can't believe I just completely ignored it today there. My fault. And Willem, then your thoughts, please, sir.
Well, just, I mean, Ukraine, of course, what we saw in the, when the COVID sort of was announced that it was safe again, we could move, and mask mandates in the last sort of countries were, you know, canceled. Within a week, this Ukraine war started when Putin, you know, when this whole military operation started from Russia, within a week. So it's like the Western societies, especially Western societies, but also the other societies already are, I think they have us by the balls in a certain way. And a new crisis will come, like you say, some things will fade out and then new crises will come. This Ukraine, of course, serves also, like many other reasons, as a perfect divider in society. So the countries that will not support Ukraine or stop with supporting, and there are a few countries also in Europe who want to stop or are stopping. So that creates more division in the Western countries, and it makes us even more weak, as if it's not already completely weak, to the degree that we are literally now sort of sitting ducks, openly welcoming our enemies, literally. That's literally what's happening through these brainwash operations and the fear and all this stuff. So for sure, things will fade out to a certain degree, or might be still continuing, ongoing for different reasons that we don't know all. But a new crisis will come for sure. So it's an ongoing process. But again, this is the war. We are being fighting a war, and it's also sort of fourth, generation warfare, like what is Eric Carlson called it. Not yet, it's a hot war, but in Western Europe. But that might come in different ways, like we see now in different ways with this psychological warfare, which is has really transformed the Western societies massively, despite all the other influences. So yeah, it will continue, and we need to adapt on that, and you know, be very careful how to come up with our strategies in this situation.
Indeed, we have the NATO minister essentially suggesting Ukrainian lives are cheap. That's another interesting talking point. Another instance of Western officials speaking the quiet part out loud, one commenter stated. The Netherlands defense minister issued some controversial remarks through this. Again, referred to supporting Ukraine as a quote-unquote cheap way to ensure Europe's security. And, of course, that's implying that the lives of Ukrainians are likewise cheap. Her answer started by emphasizing NATO allies have actually been bolstering their support of late, which, quote, surprised Ukraine, which surely surprised Putin and the Kremlin, unquote. But here's another quote. We also surprised ourselves to think that what we are capable of a lot, and we have proven that in the last year and a half, and the only thing we have to do is keep it up, unquote. And so that's when she pivoted to talking about Europe's overall safety as taking primacy, and not just Ukraine's. It's, of course, part of the more broad talking point. You know, Zelensky stating that, well, you know, if Putin gets Ukraine, he's coming for all of you, right? He's coming for the rest of Europe and America, and Putin's going to take over. So you know, you really have to support this. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's a ridiculous notion. But in a certain way, what's happening now, you know, this collapse of the West with this cultural Marxist ideology implemented over here, which is resulting in this division and collapse of society with this extreme radicalized leftist now, you know, steering our societies into the abyss. But on the right, there are also the same people. This conservative right, so-called right, people who identify with that part of the society are also, you know, delusion, because they still identify and fall for this trap of this if this dialectic, this false dialectic. But the notion that Putin is, I don't know how this will manifest over time. It's more plausible that United Nations troops will, at a certain stage, you know, do things in the West, Western countries, or globally, or whatever. We don't know. I think it's most important that we take care of our own houses, you know. But with that, I mean, as an individual, who we are, and what is how our mental state is, and our health, physical health, psychological health is. That's the most important thing, I think, where we should put our focus and energy on, and also. Choose your allies more careful. I mean, I have several family members who it's literally dangerous to speak about certain issues nowadays. So it's not that I'm paranoid, not at all, but now it's sort of okay, everything. But if a new crisis will hit, these people will literally support our deportation. These are then family or so-called friends. So that's an important thing, to focus your energy, you know, on that, other than this bigger theater, what is happening, but it's energy taking, and also draining, and also it's demoralizing as well, because you cannot change it.
I hear the music. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Felderhoff. And, well, I don't know, is there more you wanted to say on that or perhaps a broader direction from that topic, Wilhelm?
Well, I think what I mentioned before, that's I think that because it's very depressing. All the information you're looking at has different effects on the system. If I look at Telegram, my Telegram feeds, that's mostly where I look things and then I see some news things, but it's affecting me in a certain way, although I look or try to look objectively at it. So I think it's what I said, it's not very uplifting for sure. So that does influence your mental state. And I think that's where it should be important to keep yourself healthy in a certain way, and also psychologically, mentally, and physically, and focus on that. And it's also, you know, that's more uplifting other than the news and all the what's happening outside of that, you know, of that, let's say, bubble, your individual bubble, where you can influence directly with your actions the reality. I think that's where the focus should lie, because it's very difficult already to have energy to do that, because many of us are already in sort of survival modus financially or in whatever ways. So you have to put energy also in that. So there, you have to really sort of nurture your energy in different ways other than only focusing on these on the political spectrum. And for sure, it's important to see what's happening, but not all the energy in there. And it's a nice comparison as with flying. When you fly over an ocean and you have a technical problem or there is some hurricane somewhere, you don't focus the whole time on it. You know it's there. It's you have to be aware of it. You have to sort of monitor it in a certain way. But if you hit certain other problems like bad weather, which was not predicted, and that's a nice comparison. You have to narrow down your focus of attention, your scanning cycle, and just leave certain things outside of your attention and your focus, because all your energy is needed for other things, and you have to sort of trust on the plane to do its work if you go through the bad weather sort of thing. But so it's really important to balance the energy and to get it in such a way that it doesn't affect you in a negative way, that it's draining instead of giving you energy. And that's, of course, already very difficult. So easily speaking from here, from from a screen in the screen and in the microphone. But it's a challenge already individually. So to dose the focus of attention, to balance it, I think that can be also empowering and also uplifting.
Yes, well, I mean, that's always a balance I am challenged by, really, with this show. I mean, I want a good amount of variety in the long run. But at the same time, yes, I mean, in a lot of shows, I'll be mentioning this, then that, you know, and it almost seems like I'm distracting the people from one of those is usually more important than a lot of other topics for what it implies and relates to on a given day. And yet here are all these distractions, you know, am I any better than the corporate media sometimes? In that way, I wonder.
It's also a frequency transmission. You know, there's a connection. We have a connection, whether, you know, there's no physical connection, but it's always nice to connect with the station, with you, and hear your voice, or hear what you're saying, hear you, the speakers there or people calling in. They speak from somewhere, from certain, truth, to a certain level of truth, which is transmitting a different frequency. So that alone, despite the subjects, you know, is already doing some really important and things, and which is giving you energy in a certain way. And that's what we shouldn't forget. It's very precious and very important at the same time, because it's literally like a beacon, this radio station, and the people who work for it, who have their shows and put in their energy and love and attention and their commitment on, that gives a frequency and something else which is serves us all also. And we should not forget that. Despite all the subjects we talking about, that can be draining if we focus too much on it. So you can sort of then shift your focus on that and then leave the information, which is just insane. We cannot deal with this information. It's too much. But we should not forget that. You especially, I mean, it's amazing what you do, and all the people who work for the station, and the people calling in. That's our family in a certain way, you know. So that's really important to not forget that.
Yes, absolutely. And frequency applies in so many ways. A positive receptive vibration and frequency is important, and maintaining this atmosphere, this energy, there's a symbiotic potential with it for sure. I think that's part of what you were implying there. Also, yes. Though, of course, the frequency with what points we stress to listeners, we can bypass this concern of them being distracted by making sure we remind them what are the more important things to focus on. Like right now, we have what, 20 minutes left in the show. I had a couple more of just what you described there to run by us. But yes, at the same time, you know, yeah, we do have to keep our eye on the most important factors out there. But no, I mean, I had already touched on the economic situation primarily overall, but I've been focusing more on factors in the U.S., obviously. Over in Germany, though, I see, well, the German real estate companies have hit the highest number of insolvencies in 7 years. I was looking at some charts over there, and latest data from June of this year. So Germany's grappling with severe economic turmoil, and it's now hitting the real estate, you know, the property market, which takes a while to get to just in the cycles, microcosm cycles. But, I mean, obviously the amount of free money they're giving to all the, brown non-German refugees, you know, to use the ridiculous euphemistic term. I think that's, yeah, it's just part of this socialist, give away free stuff, just sort of transformation of the stock population that is in large part, you know, why they're going so broke. I mean, Germany, as productive and high of standards as they've had, throughout the industrial era and prior. That is the only explanation for it. Willem.
Yes, it's very sad, of course. Germany is special, especially, I mean, what Germany had to bear the last 100 years is just very sad, of course. This beautiful country with these amazing people and amazing qualities, and the country is just completely annihilated. But at the same time, there is this group of people who don't take it anymore, and that's in every country, of course. And these people, that's the good thing. We are being challenged just beyond our imaginations, which is very unpleasant because it interferes with our comfort zone, and therefore it's unpleasant. But at the same time, it gives us huge opportunities. So we don't know where it's going. It's collapsing. I saw this with regarding the immigrants. I saw some footage of an immigrant boat full of men, of course, with iPhones or whatever, throwing their iPhones, but also were attacking the boats who were about to save them, throwing stones and everything. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's happening over there. But these conditions will all affect us all, so we will all be challenged, and that gives us still amazing opportunities to liberate ourselves from our own belief systems, which are also not in line with truth, and gives us certain answers on certain deep questions about ourselves. Who are we actually, and what is driving me, and what is me? What is the me actually here? What is death, and how do I approach death? You know, that's, of course, being avoided in the comfort zone when everything is pleasant. But these questions are now coming to the surface by force in a certain way. And that's a good thing because we have to, and that's happening because we can adapt to whatever situation in a certain way. So we have to, access certain areas of qualities which we never had to, were forced to access before because of these conditions. And in Germany is now, well, I mean, it's quite late, of course. It's all too late in a certain way, but it's never too late at the same time. You see now, because they cannot keep labeling people as Nazis, and as you know, it's always the same, Nazis, anti-Semites. But there will come a time, of course, that the army will be called in, because most people have this savior complex and still want strong leadership, like you said before, want more rules, more laws, more tyranny, because that's the only thing they know, actually. So the idea that they will take responsibility for themselves, that's a hurdle too much. But large groups in society will also be mobilized in certain directions, which might serve the good and the greater good in a certain way, and gives us opportunities like we've not seen before.
No, yes, it's kind of similar to the religious end times philosophies, where, yes, you can find the best in yourself, and, you know, men can become better men in troubling times. You're reevaluating yourself, as you say, forced by these conditions. And so it's an exciting time for some people because of that, and a necessary phase in a lot of people's belief systems, for that matter. Regardless of one's belief system, they have to have some sort of belief system. Even if they don't acknowledge anything other than what they see and hear, there's a belief system, and how they perceive reality is what it comes down to.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's true, but I mean, belief systems are irrelevant when it comes to truth. You can align your belief systems and your perception of reality more with truth, but in the end, it's irrelevant what you believe or not. It's, truth is always there. It's there, and you cannot. It's not our truth or my truth or whatever I believe in it. That's in the end, it's irrelevant. And people who believe in this end time script, because that's another problem, of course, that many people believe this as being prophesized, and it's in this man-made script, and they believe in that this is a good thing, because then it will facilitate the coming of a non-existent messiah, all these kinds of beliefs. That is a problem with belief systems are very much a problem, especially when it comes to religion. and especially if it comes to the religion of self. But it's a hard one to swallow, of course, especially in this narcissistic era where people think that their beliefs and that's the most important thing. You can do whatever you think is good, and that there is no objective difference between right and wrong, all this kinds of stuff in line with natural law principles, which is completely occulted and weaponized against us.
That's just the thing, though. I mean, many suggest if we had a society of European pagan religion advocates, it might be harder to get the masses to abide by morality due to their genetics alone. Now, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a strong argument on both sides. I think genetics have a lot to do with, you know, a lot of the factors related to high trust society from my research. So it's not necessarily the case, but especially though for someone who's compelled to insist that, you know, race is just about skin color, this sort of thing, and anything to think anything different is immoral, is evil. If that is attached to their belief system, then, you know, they have no choice but to, see how, you know, there's such a need. I mean, even in the Third Reich, I mean, I know some of the higher ranking individuals were admirers of Nietzsche, but for the masses, they saw Christianity and the morality attached to it. It's in line very much with natural law, and then that's what many people in this country and our system have cited as well, that for the masses, Christianity seems to work well to get most people to be moral according to natural law. I don't know. Before I'm totally lost in my own conundrum, how would you add to that, Willem?
Well, I don't think that you need a religion or scripture to decide or to understand what's moral and what's not moral. Natural law is separated from religion, all religions. So the difference between right and wrong has nothing to do with religion. The objective difference between right and wrong. Most people don't know what the right is. You know, it's the start. Or order followers here. If you ask an order follower here, what is the right? You're supposedly the protector of our rights. They cannot tell you what a right is. They don't know what to say. They think that they have more rights and that they have this monopoly over violence. And that's the belief system of people is, of course, at the root cause of the problem. Because most people believe in the system of government. They believed that we need leaders, strong leaders. And in Germany, however you want to think about it, Germany was completely destroyed, annihilated after the Second World War, but also due to the belief in government and the belief in a strong leader. That's also one of the reasons why it completely collapsed and why this global Zionist agenda could emerge. The State of Israel was founded. And Germany was literally completely annihilated and suffered just immensely. So the belief in government is, if you ask me, at the root cause, and in man-made law as a root cause of the problems we are now facing.
Well, many would respond to that around these circles, suggesting that you sound like a classical anarchist there. And some are just not comfortable with that level of not wanting government. But no, you bring up very good points, and I'd love to continue that sometime. You know, Willem, if you ever wanted to try to additionally be on one of the Friday roundtables, I'm sure a panel would appreciate your interaction there.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll be right. Oh yeah, let's skip the last break. Sure. Thank you, Mike. Okay. Well, that would be a great treat. I didn't want to overburden to ever ask, but every so often I'll get you on one and. Yeah, find some good individuals, because these are some interesting discussions, and it's good to hear more perspectives, even more people as well with these topics. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's nice to talk about it. I like to talk about it, especially about anarchists or anarchy. I could call myself an anarchist, but anarchy is one of the most weaponized words there are. If you ask a person what is anarchy, they parallel it with chaos. They think it's chaos, absolute chaos. Well, the opposite is true. It's actually order. It's peace. It's the things we want, actually. There's no external control. And people think that they need this certain level of external control over their lives, because otherwise it will be chaos. And of course, that's the root fear of people, is the fear for chaos. Now look where we are. Look where we're going. We're going to a state of absolute chaos. It's already chaos, if you look at it. But the anarchy literally means the word. The etymology of anarchy is no N, the absence of, and Archon is control, the external control over people. We live now in a monarchy where there's a single source of control. And then the people are, through brainwashing, they say, well, this is only traditional, you know, these royal families, and it's just a history, blah, 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 blah. And they think we need some control. We need some force to control over our lives, to protect us. Well, that's wrong. That's literally in contradiction with natural law principles. So it's in complete in opposition. And I would identify with sort of being an anarchist if how I look at society, or how I would like things to be for myself, then we all have the same rights according that system, if you want to call it like that. We are aware of our rights, and we choose to live in alliance with these rights, and live in line with natural law principles, because that will give us the things we are looking for, actually. We now look at what we want, but we need to have proper diagnosis why we're not getting it, because most people live in opposition with natural law principles. That's by far the majority of people, of course. And that's resulting in this reality. That is chaos.
Oh, so well put. So many points you make there, I certainly couldn't argue against or would want to. Yes, no, we've had a lot of good points we've hit on today. One other thing I could throw in, you know, an update on the whole COVID shot psyop. We had a Chinese, no less, a Chinese journalist who was out there asking some really pertinent question. With the mRNA, we don't know the long-term effects. You know, do we have any concern over that? And, you know, the fact that, you know, it took a Chinese a journalist to say that, it just shows how much the media is controlled. It's an obvious question that everyone has been forbidden from bringing up. Here in the West, even more so, it seems we're controlled about the most important things, Willem.
Yes, we are, of course, including our perceptions and our emotions, feelings, our thoughts, and our actions with that are controlled to a high degree. I mean, the propaganda is just, it's off the scale, it's everywhere, it's nonstop. And now with the technology, it's even worse. So you see people are literally turned into zombies while thinking that they choose their behavior and their action and their lives in a certain way. So yeah, I agree. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's also the era of the revelation of the method, because things are just put out in the open, and at the same moment, it's a conspiracy theory which becomes real at the same time almost, and there's no reaction. It's just amazing.
Yes. If there are plenty of directions already covered as far as controlled opposition, and we know about for decades COINTELPRO, we've known about Operation Mockingbird. We're supposed to believe these things cooled down, fizzled out, that there's some form of these things in place now, but it's not as bad or something. The people who acknowledge those. We've had, you know, confirmation. It just leaks out slowly, just like technology from those in power about the wrongdoings, where we're always supposed to believe, well, there was more corruption back then. It's better now. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And elderly people, older people saying, oh, it used to be better. They say it the other way around, not being attacked, you know, by younger people. But it's like communism, you know, fell when the wall fell. Communism supposedly fell, and now it's we're living in a communist world almost. So what happened there?
Yes, the perestroika deception, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty clearly laid out, this whole operation to turn this whole planet in a prison, communistic prison planet. But, of course, it's a very good try, let's say that one, because this one won't work on the long term, in my view.
Oh, yes. I mean, many suggest that the patriots in the United States who abide by the freedoms which are represented in their First Amendment and Second Amendment, you know, their freedom of speech and their right to bear arms, that it would be like a huge exponential variation of trying to take the natives out of Vietnam to try to take the patriots out of the U.S., Willem.
Yeah, I agree, Rich. It's
yeah, so, I mean, there's always a silver lining at the end of that horizon, folks. And you can't let your mind be played, is what it comes down to. I always wish we have more time, Willem. It was fantastic, as always, for you to be here. And have a great week, sir.
And you too, Rich. Take care, and don't trust the plan.
Don't trust the plan. Thank you, my brother. Okay, and folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network to keep all of this free speech alive so that we will speak again soon. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Click on that donate page. And until then, folks, I don't hear the music, but it should be rolling here. But until then, folks, transcend the construct. Regards.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.